I want you to pay attention to this, 1 John chapter 4. Let me read this. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. Now notice that these things are talking about something spiritual. We have a tendency that when we're listening to people teach, or we're listening to people talk, or philosophize, we think of it of them as just speaking out of their minds, or speaking from a guide, or speaking from, you know, something that's written, like the Bible, speaking from somebody else's ideas. But it's more than that. There are spirits involved. When you get into a place where somebody opposes the truth, it's never just that person in their mind. These are real spiritual influences you deal with. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and wickedness in high places. Whenever you get into this thing where when you have someone in opposition to Christ and the truth, it's not just somebody's idea that differs from you. And we've got to quit looking at it as if it's just between men's minds and men's ideas. Because the root is never the ideas. And I don't care what they want to take you to. If they want to take you to psychiatry, if they want to take you to psychology, they want to take you to history, they want to take you to whatever it is that they want to use that has some validation in the world, but it violates the spirit, then you know that it doesn't matter what the facts are that they're using. You know it has to do with spirits. You know also that they're never going to receive what you have to say unless God Himself breaks that stronghold in their life. You know, when we have people like Jehovah's Witnesses coming to our door, they are bringing to us another gospel. They are bringing to us another Jesus. When it's the Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and nine-tenths of these other groups, they are bringing something that is demonic to you, cloaked as if it were an angel of light, cloaked as if it were of the light. You know, it doesn't tell us test their thinking. It doesn't tell us test whether or not that they can read plain English. It doesn't tell us test their education. It doesn't tell us test to see if they have a sound mind, or whether or not they are on the right pills if they don't have a sound mind. It tells us test the spirits, because that's the root behind what it is they're doing. Listen to it again. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. See, a false prophet and a false teacher is not run just by a difference of opinion. I want to say something. There is only one set of truths, and those are from God. They're not of men. They're of God. And they are spiritual in nature. There is no such thing as differing opinions. That's all within the realm of men. An opinion of men doesn't mean anything. If it comes out of their own thinking, their own education, their own intellect, or even if it's somebody else's books or scholarship, it's still just an opinion. An opinion is something that can't be substantiated. Have we forgotten what opinions are? Why is it that people value their own opinions when they know how fallible they are? Think of yourself. Why is it you put so much store in your own opinions when you know how fallible you are. You know, it's an ancient lie that says, look in your heart, for the truth is within you. Because apart from Christ being in you, that is not true. The only way the truth can dwell in you is if Christ himself, by his Spirit, dwells in you through faith. Apart from receiving Christ, truth does not dwell in a man. What's in a man by nature because of Adam is corruption. And the influence that he is directly under is the God of this world, not Jesus. It's a lie within Eastern mysticism. Look in your heart and see what the truth is. No, the Bible tells us opposite, doesn't it? The Bible tells us, don't trust your heart, because it's wicked and deceptive above all things. You know, you see in movies like Star Wars, reach out with your feelings, Luke. No, your feelings will mislead you. Feelings are neutral. Did you know that feelings are neutral? Emotions are neutral. They are neither good nor bad, right nor wrong. They are only reactions to things that are good or bad, right or wrong. And whether or not you express them, and when you express them, and how you express them, there is propriety and order. You have a choice now through Christ. You can feel good about something bad, and you can feel bad about something good. Emotions lead people to do everything from homosexuality to punching people in the mouth. You can't go by your emotions to verify what truth is. You may feel good about God today, but tomorrow you may feel bad. Emotions change. God does not. Our faith is based upon who we know and what we know. It doesn't change. More is added to it, but none is taken away. That's the nature of truth. It doesn't change. It doesn't bend, and it doesn't facilitate lies. It doesn't facilitate or lend itself to opinions. Truth is always truth, and truth is always absolute. There is no such thing as your truth and my truth, his truth and her truth. There's only truth, and everything apart from that is a lie. Now, the only one who can reveal truth is the God of truth. The only one who can reveal, and you know, all these other opinions and ideas and these conflictions, they don't come from God. God's not the God of confusion. They come from men. They come from men. And the influences that are working through men. And they're designed to separate. They're designed to divide. Christ is not divided. But men hopelessly are. We're going to look at some of the scriptures tonight, and I'm going to read them, and as we discuss them, and we're going to go back and look at the very character of the scripture points us always back to the Spirit and to the supernatural. We are called to be a supernatural people, not reliant, dependent upon the machinery of men, or the works of men, or the thinking of men, not even our own thinking. We must submit even our thinking to God and to the Scriptures. It's God who is supposed to do the thinking for us. Did you not realize that? It is God who tells us what is true, and we must find ourselves not in agreement with each other, but in agreement with God. Because the only true agreement we can ever have with each other is when all of us start to agree with God. And if all of us start to agree with God, we will agree with each other. Dear friends, let us love one another. John says in verse 7 of chapter 4, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Now this love comes from that root word, agape, which is godly love. It is spiritual love. This is not the love that men produce. It's impossible for man of himself to produce this kind of love. This love is only shed abroad in our hearts through the sacrifice of Jesus. This is God communing with us and giving us a part of His nature, making us dependent upon Him and making us sharers in His divine nature. This love is not of man. The only types of love we have, like phileo, brotherly love, eros, erotic love, soteria, the love of wisdom, matana, the motherly love, these are only types. But these are only types of what real spiritual love is. And God is the only one who has it, and He's the only one who can give it. Now, I want you to notice something. The Bible tells you to love one another. But it's telling you to do something that's impossible of yourself. Love one another. You can't do it of yourself. Yet you're commanded to do so. Why? Because you were given that Spirit. And the love of God was shed abroad in your heart through Jesus Christ. You were given access to that love to let it work in you. You know, the people of the world cannot love. It's an impossibility. Just like they cannot recognize truth of their own. They're in bondage. They cannot know agape, the love of God. But He lives inside us, if in fact the Spirit of Christ lives in us. All these things lead us back to the inescapable conclusion that we are a supernatural people, or we don't belong to God. We're called to walk in a supernatural way above the world's circumstances, or we don't belong to God. We're called to overcome the world, or we don't belong to God. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the Spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Test the spirits. The Spirit from God will always agree with God. The Spirit that is from God may not always agree with you, but it will agree with God. So see if what they're saying lines up with God's Word, because it'll always agree with God's Word if it's from God. And this is how we know what is truth and what is the spirit of falsehood. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Does it come from you? Did it originate with you? It comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoa, here's we get a tie-in. John 17:3. This is eternal life, that you know God and Jesus Christ whom He sent. So everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed His love among us. We're going to talk about what showing love is here in a minute. And this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. It's only through this atoning sacrifice that we can have this love. It's only through that. You could not love God. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to us. You see, it was always God reaching out to us. It wasn't us reaching out to God. It's true that nobody comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ, and it's equally true that no one comes to Jesus unless first the Father draws them. And this is God's love revealed to us. We know that we live in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. Oh, whoa, hold on. This kind of contradicts something here, doesn't it? We know that we live in Him and He lives in us because Martin Luther told us so? It's not what it says, is it? We know that we live in Him and He lives in us because John Calvin... No, that's not what it says, is it? We know that we live in Him and He lives in us because we go to the right church. That's not what it says. We know that we live in Him and He lives in us because we read the right book and listened to the right tape and Kenneth Copeland hit us with his coat. It doesn't say any of that, does it? We know that we live in Him and He lives in us because we feel like He does. That's not what it says. We know that we live in Him and that He lives in us because He has given us of His Spirit. His Spirit dwells in you. The Spirit of a supernatural God. This is your connection. You know that Spirit, it tells us in Galatians 4, cries out, Abba, Father, and testifies with our spirits that we are God's children. We know we belong to Him because the Spirit is in us. We know God. We know God. That's what it is to be a Christian. We know God. This is eternal life, that you know Jesus Christ, that you know God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent us His one and only Son. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son for us. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And everyone who truly loves, agape, has been born of God. Love comes from God, not from men. It originated with God, not with us. It went from creator to creation. Don't let these people, look in your heart. No. Don't look in your heart. There's nothing there but disgusting things apart from Christ. There's no sinner in the world that can look in their heart and find something good. Paul said, I know nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh. But thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ only. This love is a supernatural love. It overcomes everything of the world. It overcomes hate with good. It overcomes despair with joy. It overcomes emptiness with fullness. It overcomes the temporary with the eternal. It overcomes sin with righteousness. It overcomes the physical with the spiritual. We know that we live in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in Him and He is in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. How are you going to have confidence on the day of judgment? Because of what your pastor told you? No. Because of what your church assured you of? No. Because you're well-read and went to seminary? No. Because of what any man told you? No. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world we are like Him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. What's the only way to stop that fear inside of a man? You've heard it said, no coward will enter into heaven. Perfect love casts out fear. We love because He first loved us. It wasn't in you by nature. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. Hello? This talks about just like Jesus showed us His love by dying for us. How can you show forth God's love and then say you hate your brother? You know, what you say will be manifested in what you do. What you say is manifested in what you do. What you do doesn't earn you anything. It just shows what you're of. What you say is manifested in what you do. If you love, then love will show in what you do. Jesus loved, and it showed in what He did. He laid His life down for us. Are you laying down your life? Do you really have God's love in you? Because that's eternal life, that you know God. And to know God is to know love, agape. Not human love, godly love. And godly love does not hate. And it doesn't take offense. And it doesn't push for its own way. And it doesn't value its own thinking above God's. We love because He first loved us. And if anyone says, I love God, and he hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And He's given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. What you say must be manifested in what you do, or it's not true. An apple tree can call itself an orange tree all day long, but if it only produces apples, what kind of tree is it? A thorn bush can proclaim that it's a mulberry bush all day long. You can take all the signs you want and tack them all around that mulberry bush and call it a different kind of a bush. But when it yields only thorns and no mulberries, it'll kind of tell the tale, huh? Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. And this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commandments. Oh, you mean it's not just the words? By loving God and carrying out His commandments. Can we carry out His commandments of ourselves? No, it's because the love of God dwells in us. The very nature of God. That's how we carry out His commandments. He's enabled us through love, through His nature, through that Spirit that He's caused to dwell in us. Because He loved us first. And it'll be demonstrated when we carry out His commands. This is the love of God, to obey His commands. And His commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And what you believe will be expressed in what you do. Love is active. It don't just sit on the bench. But this is telling us that we are a supernatural people. Is it true that you have the Spirit of God, which is supernatural, dwelling inside you? That means you also have the love of God. And if we truly do have the love of God, how dare us not walk in it and treat as an unholy thing the sacrifice of His Son? How dare us grieve that Spirit that He has given so freely? If we're not walking supernaturally, and yet we claim to have the Spirit of God, how dare us? Have we taken it to be a light thing? Or is it just that it's not true? Is it truly that way in your heart, that the love of God lives there? It's time for the children of God to wake up. To wake up and look heavenward. To focus their eyes on the spiritual. We have been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Why do we keep trying to walk this Christian life in the earthly realm? With earthly strength that passes away. Your strength passes away because the world is passing away. Don't you know that? Your strength passes away because it's not perfect. And the world you live in is not perfect. But the world that you were born of is perfect. If you're born of Christ. And that love can overcome everything. That power is the same mighty working of His power that raised Jesus from the dead. Can it not raise you to walk a godly life? Where is your faith that you are something supernatural? You got to start walking in it. That doesn't mean go out and try to do something of your own strength. It means yield yourself to it. Wake up. Give yourself to God. You were bought with a price. Become that living sacrifice. Give yourself to Him in prayer and in seeking His face. Become one with Him as He's enabled you to do by the Spirit that dwells in you. Grow in grace and into maturity. You're commanded to because He's enabled you to. He wouldn't command you to do something you could not do unless He had given you the power or a way to do it. And to all who had received Him and believed in His name, gave He them the power to become the children of God. And that's what you have received. And it's not of this world. You can't learn it in seminary. It's a life that has to be lived. But everywhere, I want you to start, when you look at the Scriptures and you pray, I want you to start to see all the signs of the supernatural life that you're called to lead. Wherever you see the word Spirit, that's supernatural. Wherever you see the word Truth, that's supernatural. Wherever you see the word Love, that's supernatural. Wherever you see the word Healing, that's supernatural. Wherever you see the word Wisdom, that's supernatural. Wherever you see the word Prophecy, that is supernatural. Wherever you see the word Peace, that is supernatural. And all these things you have been called to. And you can't fulfill them yourself. You can't live in wisdom and in peace and in love and in maturity and prophecy and joy without leading a supernatural life through the empowerment of God's grace and love. And you have access into this grace in which you now stand by faith through the body and blood of Jesus. To all who received Him, gave Him the power to become the children of God. And don't let anyone tell you that different, that this is what your life is predicated on, your life in Christ. This isn't your home. Peter told us in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 11, he said, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world." This isn't your home. "To abstain from sinful desires that war against your souls." This isn't your home. Abstain from the things of this world. This isn't your home. You're not of this world any more than Christ is of this world. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit, remember? So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. They're like the wind. You can't see where it's coming from, and you don't know where it's going. The flesh will never know that. They hear the sound of it. And so they didn't know where Jesus was from. He said, "Where I've come from, you don't know, and where I'm going, you can't follow." Jesus wasn't from Nazareth. He was the man from heaven. And now you were born of heaven if you have been born again. And you're called to live a supernatural life. And it's not just one that's supposed to look good on paper. It's one that's supposed to bring healing to the people around you as Jesus did. It's one that's supposed to bring order where there's chaos, and light where there's darkness, and love where there's hate, and peace where there's tumult, and destruction to the things of the darkness, and the edifying to those of the light. You're called to bring that in your life because you were bought with a price and you were renewed through Christ and you're not of this world anymore. When will you start to think like it? Amen. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Father, for this today. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.